for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is tape 2 of 2 tapes of the Saturday morning service of September the 3rd, 1988. Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas is the speaker. This is the conclusion of the morning service.
When the church travails in birth pangs and brings forth the mighty sons of God, hallelujah, this will be my new birth. Hallelujah. Yeah, this will be my new birth. Now, at that point, I will be born again. And I will meet all the requirements. That is, I cannot die. I cannot sin. For his seed life remaineth in me. Oh, hallelujah. And it is no longer I that lives, but it is him that liveth in me. I am the in-Christed. Right now, I'm coasting along on a hope. Or should I say laboring along with a hope. My hope is Christ Jesus, Jesus in you. The Christ in you is the hope of glory. But the glory that it is a hope of is that you will be in Christed. Right now, he's in you. That's the difference. But when he grows up in you and develops himself and envelops this man. Praise the Lord. You feel that anointing? Deep is calling unto deep. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You're just sitting here putting yourself in jeopardy unless you can purpose to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Hallelujah. What are you a manifested son, Brother Jack? No. I'm not born again. But I tell you, what is your position? I'm in the womb of the church. Hallelujah. I'm in the womb of the church. I'm waiting for that hour. I'm like, you boil an egg and look and peel it. Peels real smooth and look at the end or somewhere. There'll be a bubble in it. You know what that is? It's oxygen. Catch. But when that little old chicken starts, when he grows up in there, he's feasting off of the already provided yolk of that egg. But when his muscles develop and he gets ready to get out of there, he begins to peck. But when he begins to peck, he starts breathing oxygen. That's that oxygen that's still in that little niche there. And if he can't get out of there, if he can't peck a hole through that shell where he'll have a whole world of oxygen, before he runs out of oxygen that has been prepared for him, he'll die in the shell. Hallelujah. And if you're familiar, I was raised on farm ranch type thing. You know, you can hear that chicken pecking in there. He's wanting out. The creation, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, do groan within ourselves. I feel the groaning. I'm already pecking at the shell. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm using up my supply of oxygen. Hallelujah. And in the day of the blessed Lord, hallelujah, amen, when it pleases him to bring forth this birth of Christ through that outer shell into a whole world of oxygen that my lungs are craving, hallelujah, that I must have to sustain life, I will have been born again. Hallelujah. Now, God moves on. But you see, I have showed you what God plans to do. But now let me show you how he begins to do that. In Exodus chapter 2, there went a man, verse 1, there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. He's talking about Moses. He's talking about Moses' father here. That and the woman could see bear a son. When she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. You know the story of Moses, so I'll spare you the reading and just give you the expounding. Hallelujah. How about that? Amen. All right? All right? God is ready now. The children down in Egypt is crying by way of oppression. The taskmasters have borne down on them. They're tired of captivity. They are crying to God, and God hears their cry, and He nudges a man from the tribe of Levi to go over to the house, another house of Levi, and take the daughter there to wife. God doesn't just, He's got it all planned out. Somebody said, well, what about program? Oh, God's got a program that He's real proud of. We say, don't programize. Well, let's don't. That's our program. God's got one that He's real proud of, and that's His own. He's got a program of His own, and He's real glad of that. But now He doesn't care much about our programming unless it coordinates with His programming. So, all right, well, what is God doing here? He sends a man from the house of Levi to take a daughter of Levi. I'll tell you what He's doing. He's looking for a purebred. Yeah. Hear me in the spirit now. You have to hear me in the spirit. He is going to write. He's looking for a certain strain. Yeah. My forefathers were horse breeders and builders. You understand? And cattle. My granddaddy told me it takes 14 generations to breed a characteristic out of a breed. I thought that was kind of peculiar in the face of Matthew divides the generations up into 14 generations. He must have been removing some kind of a strain. Now what God is looking for here, He's going to raise up a man called Moses who will be a great deliverer. And so He's looking for certain characteristics in this man. And He has it in the lineage of Levi. So He is going, that's how you get thoroughbreds, and so you breed, line breed, and in cattle you can inbreed, but of course in the human race, God doesn't allow inbreeding, but line breeding. He's looking for a strain. You know what He's got to have? He's got to have a man that won't panic under pressure. And the more of the pure blood he has in him of a warrior, the less likely he is to panic under pressure. Now, I'll show you the strain that he's looking for right in the book here. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hallelujah. And we'll see it here that he is looking for this strain. In chapter 11, it says in verse 23... By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. You know, there had been a king's commandment that all the male children should be put to death. Well, now, I'm glad that the Holy Ghost seen fit to tell us that over here in the book of Hebrews. Because if I had just read it over there where it took place, I would have thought for all the world they were afraid. Wouldn't you? Read the story, and it looks like they're kindly scared. But the Holy Ghost said, no, they weren't afraid. If they weren't afraid, and it appeared that they were, and they did the right thing, what was happening to them? The sovereignty of God was meeting human initiative, and a deliverer was being prepared that would deliver God's people from bondage. I'll tell you, that deliverer is being prepared today. To bring this mass deliverance. Say, well, I thought we haven't. Oh, we are having mass deliverance. But it's on a minute scale indeed compared to what I'm talking about beyond. Amen. This will be a good carrier to get us there. But believe me, my friend, the day will come. Hallelujah. Amen. That only a living word will be all that is needed. Hallelujah. I've raised you up to be conquerors. Yay! To rule and not to be oppressed, saith the Lord. Yea, I'll have you to rule over your own earth first. Then I'll have you to rule from sea to sea and from nation to nation and from planet to planet. And of the increase of my government and peace, there shall be no end, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to the Lord. I may shout here after a bit. If I do, you can know it takes some steam to get this 250-pound off the ground very high. Hallelujah. Amen. But I feel it. I feel the strength. I feel an energizing. I feel a refreshing. Deep is calling unto deep. Hallelujah. Oh. All right, I'm going to show you here. That's verse 23. Just keep your finger down there and we'll come on down to verse 27 and we'll read about the product. By faith he, that is Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He got the strain he was looking for. He was looking for one that wouldn't be afraid of the king's command, the king that rules over darkness. Hallelujah. Oh my. He got it. I tell you about this fellow that I had working for me. One time he raised fighting roosters. It wasn't legal to fight them, but he wasn't too much on legalistic matters anyhow. And he kept a ledger on them roosters. I mean strict ledger. Their lineage. And he fought them, you know, and they bet money on them. You know how they do that. You know, I've never been to a rooster fight, but he told me a lot about it. And if a rooster quit in the pit, you know what I mean, if he quits? Well, you know what he did to that rooster? He killed him. Well, that wouldn't be so bad, but he comes home, gets out his ledger, and kills everything that's kin to him. A strain showed up there that he don't want in his flock, if flock is the right term here. A strain showed up that he don't want to carry on down through the lineage. He's going to liquidate that strain and raise him up some roosters that'll fight till they die. Hallelujah. If you love not your life unto death. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. All right? Now God has his man. He's raised up a man that is not afraid of the king's commandments. But, all right, so now let me take you over to Isaiah chapter 28 and show you the process in here. He has to come, verse 28, and chapter 28, verse 9. Now, let me tell you a little story about Moses before I give you this scripture. Moses, you know, was fished out of the river and given to Pharaoh's daughter to bring to manhood, to raise him, so we say in Texas. I believe there's a more correct term for that, but I don't speak English, I speak Texan. So, all right, now this puts Moses in position for, he is the crown prince of Egypt. I mean, that is his, that's what he is. The Pharaoh has no son, and so that makes Moses the crown prince. I was privileged one time in England to be in the presence I forget how many dignitaries, crown princes from around the world and kings had come together. And I was on, this was some of our training, I was on a detail and part of the guard of these dignitaries. And it was a delightful thing. I mean, you look at all that dignitary there and, you know, and just wonder how a man feels with that kind of responsibility, having his life formed to be one day to be king. All of his life he's been taught that one day the prince, crown prince of England, all of his life he's been taught how to be a king, how to rule, how to reign, how to conduct himself. Hallelujah. Oh, you see anything? Hear me in the spirit. So, but Moses' biological mother was the daughter of Levi. And she taught him how to be a king. And Pharaoh's daughter taught him how to be a king. But there seemed to be some clash here. As Moses would reiterate the teaching, his biological mother is teaching him how to be a deliverer. And his adopted mother is teaching him how to be a dignitary, an executive, to rule over a nation, not through God, but through legislation. But his mother, his biological mother, is teaching him not through legislation, but through the sovereignty of God. So, now Moses, that brings us to our text here. 28 and 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Now here begins the teaching. This is a double weaning. Have you had your double weaning yet? They are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Now Moses, all right, here, you know when a mother breastfeeds her baby, when he gets so many weeks or months old or whatever, she decides to wean him. But when she weans him from the breast, she sticks a bottle in his mouth. He is not at this point quite as dependent on her as he was before, but he is still dependent on her. And so when he finally gets so big and so old, she has to take the bottle away from him also. Now he has had a double weaning. His diet changes. He's growing up. Now Moses had had two mothers, so he must have, and both of them had trained him and taught him, so now he must have a double weaning and let God teach him. All right, now many have gone through the first weaning. You know what the first weaning is? When you come out of the mother denomination. Now, many have come out, but she's still funneling her literature to you. You just got off the breast. You're still on the bottle. But I declare unto you, before you can be a deliverer, you will have to have the bottle weaning too. Hallelujah. You see, they funnel their literature to you, and you're, oh, I know people that came out of the, you know, I told you I come up through all the old schools of Pentecostal religious orders. I know people that came out 40 years ago still teaches, preaches, and believes just exactly what they believed when they come out. And they just come out over some kind of a dispute. They wean from the system, but they're still, oh, and they're still using the old system's literature. They mail it to them quarterly. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. Yeah. I'm scratching around in the nest now. I told you. Hallelujah. Yeah. So he has to have a double weaning. And if he gets a double weaning, what will happen? Here it is. Here it begins. Now here's where sonship begins. Verse 10, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. He's doubling everything here. Now he's going to teach you not scattermatic or charismatic, but systematically. He's not going to teach you the concepts and theories of men. He's going to teach you the life of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel him dispensing a portion of his life right into us this morning. Hallelujah. And as we move by the Spirit into the depths of the waters that you can swim in. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, and to whom he said, this is the rest wherein you may cause the weary to rest. You get this double weaning, you can give out some rest. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, publish glad tidings. The Lord God reigneth. Hallelujah. 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 Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. And this is a refreshing, but they wouldn't hear. You'll offer this rest to many that'll bring the refreshing Brother Glenn spoke of this morning, a refreshing that he feels when he comes into the presence of the Lord in such a tired physical condition. Oh, I've got refreshings in less than a minute's time. My Lord, I felt like Elijah when he ate that 40 days ration. Hallelujah. And went on the strength of it for 40 days. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept upon precept, line upon line upon line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Well, that's all of this that I want to read about. Let's turn back over here to chapter 8 now, Isaiah. All right, now, so Moses, we've already determined the blood strain that God was looking for. But see, now, I was dealing with the natural, but I wasn't really dealing with the natural. I'm dealing with the spiritual. That blood strain is a spiritual strain now. And it has to do with your teaching, with your knowledge, with what you have gleaned. This is what builds you. And have you got enough built up inside that you're not afraid of the King of Darkness, of His command? All right? Let me go here. I've got a few more minutes here. In the 19th verse, when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? For the living, to the dead, to the law, and to the testimony. Verse 20. To the law and to the testimonies, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Everything that we speak has to come out of this word by seed. If you get a revelation that you can't back up with the scriptures, you better shelve it. Be better yet, just discard it. Hallelujah. For Peter said, you know what the Apostle Peter said about that? We were on the mountain of his transfiguration. We beheld his glory there, and we heard a voice from his excellent glory say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Peter said, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. Do you know what he meant? He said, James, John, and I, we all heard that voice from his excellent glory. I know that we were not hallucinating. I'm sure that it was an audible voice. I'm sure this is what it said. But if there's any confusion, there is a more steadfast, a more sure word than this. Because this word, my friend, has stood the test of time, the test of all its critics, and it still stands in splendor and glory today. And if you will obey it, you will live and not die. It will bring life, and that everlasting. All right, we said that in this 28th chapter where we were reading about the double weaning here, he says it's line upon line and so, and he's going to teach them and to bring them out of darkness, and he's raising up a people that shall have dominion over darkness. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to give you some scripture here. If you go with me right now, we'll just go over here. Maybe getting a little ahead of myself here, whatever, but we'll chance it anyhow. Hallelujah. Amen. In the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations. All right. Remember that I said that Eve, what did Eve forefigure and foreshadow? The glorious church that would bring forth the man-child that will bruise the head of the serpent. Paul said in Romans 16 in verse 20, God will shortly bruise Satan under your feet. That's swiftly. He's going to do it quickly. Now, here comes, all right, but if I was teaching this really systematically, which I really don't have time for, I would come through Mary, the Virgin Mary. She is next in line that really brings out the truth here. It's such a well-known and so well-known that I'll just skip over that to bring you this truth. All right, here we are now in the 12th chapter of Revelation. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. Oh, blessed be God. Now you'll have to really hear me by the Spirit. She's clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in pain, and pain to be delivered. This is, when John gave this, it was a projection. It's still a projection. But I know what it is. I don't know if John did or not. As a matter of fact, I sort of suspect that he didn't. But he knows now. I believe that John knows now. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Well, all right. I doubt that he knew. And his tail, all right, no. Where am I? And there appeared another. Yeah. All right. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon. Where's all these? This coming in heaven? See, the church, which is a woman, is a church. This woman is the church. The church of the living God. Now, she is in a location, as I told you last night, just to be lifted up into heavenly places with Christ Jesus is not the ultimate.
Amen.
That is a beginning. It's a great beginning, to be sure, but he stands taller than that and calls, come up higher yet. Because, see, the dragon is in the same location as the woman is here. And they are both in the heavens, so stated here. All right, and his tail draws, he has all the crowns. He has 10 horns and 7 crowns. She only has 1 crown. Yeah. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. I'll tell you, when we come to this birth, there will be one waiting to try to devour us. But I'll tell you what's more scary than that is before we come to the birth, he's trying to abort the pregnancy. Oh, my Lord. Talk about the nerve of the adversary, huh? He's trying to abort this birth. Because we're going to kick him out of the heavenlies. Hallelujah. And that's not going to make everybody happy, but we're going to do it anyhow.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The reason it's not going to make everybody happy, because it's going to bring the greatest tribulation in this world that the world has ever seen.
Yes.
You better be a deliverer at this time.
Yes.
I'll tell you all that ain't hid by that time can't hide over.
Right.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. You will have established your location. Hallelujah, your position, all right? And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness. I need to expound some of this before I go any further here. Let me just begin here and we'll. All right, this woman, we said, she is clothed with the sun. That means she's clothed with light. She has a light of life. You know, the sun is a light of life. 93 million miles. Is it 93 million miles away? Something like that. And but yet it is the supply, the source of the supply of life for our planet. The sun out there stands 93 million miles away and is the source of life for this planet. If the sun should go out, this planet would die. All vegetation, all animal life. Isn't that amazing? Standing 93 million miles away, funneling life to us. Hallelujah. She is clothed with the Son of Life, who is, this is our blessed Savior. Hallelujah. It is our blessed Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, well, and, all right, and the moon is under her feet. The moon is the, rules over the darkness. You know, the moon rules over the darkness. It rules certain aspects of the earth. My granddaddy wouldn't plan anything till he consulted the calendar to see what stage the moon was in. There are probably some here that likes to watch the moon for their planning. My granddaddy, he was a great believer in that. But I when I first got grown, I farmed right beside him and paid no attention to him, and was a better farmer than my granddaddy. but we do know that the moon rules over the darkness. All right, now where does she? All right, all the darkness of the world that there is now. I mean, in our politics, all the conceit, deceit, conspiracies. My Lord, if we knew what all was going on, we'd cry, "Lord, come quickly, wouldn't we? Bring us to this birth. Let us start reversing these things on a grand scale." Yeah. All of the dope, you know, situation. Now, all of this is under the order of darkness. Everything that is rebellion, everything that rejects God, comes under the shadow of this darkness. But here is a glorious church that has that under her feet. Oh, glory. I told you, you got to get ready. You know, I always say, if it's rapture, I'm going with you. And you can tell me I was wrong all the way up. I promise not to get offended. I say it is not rapture. It is manifestation of the sons of God. But, hallelujah, if I should be wrong, I'm going, if you go up, I'm going too. And I give you the privilege to holler at me every once in a while and say, "I told you you was wrong." Hallelujah. Yeah. If all the words by mouth or pen, "I told you so," the worst of them. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at this man. What's happening here? She has the moon under her feet. Hallelujah. That is, she has overcome all of this darkness. She's rose up above it. She's heard the cry, and she's come up higher. She is impregnated. She's going to bring forth a ministry that will wipe Satan completely out. My Lord. Oh, it's a lofty calling. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Only those that have the sensitivity toward the Spirit of the Almighty shall be able to move in this realm. It is indeed a lofty calling, saith the Lord. Yea, but if thou dost know that deep has called unto deep, you can walk with me, and I'll bring you to Zion. I'll bring you there, and when you arrive, you will arrive undefiled. You'll have the mark of the Almighty in your forehead. Yea, and you will be numbered with those that follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. Yea, you were not shifted by personality. Yea, by the funneling of literature or the listening of messages. Yea, but beyond and in spite of all of this and through the aid of all of this, you have come to reach the personification of your blessed Lord. And I shall declare that you are mature sons of God, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall give you to rule over my possessions with a rod of iron, as it were, saith the Lord. Yea, for you shall be continually growing up into him who is the head over all things concerning the church, saith the Lord. Yea, every man will know his position. Yea, and you will march in ranks and not break files. Yea, you shall march together and not thrust one another through. I shall raise thee up, yea, to be judges, yea, to execute judgment on the ungodly, saith the Lord thou God. I shall raise thee up to be mighty in my war against the enemy, saith the Lord. Well, thank you, Lord. Did you know this brings to my attention the fact that we are going to have a ministry of judgment? You, this ministry comes with a ministry of judgment. Did you know that in I don't mean, you know, we speak of judgmental, that's judging without any authority to judge. We cannot help, you know, when we will be able to judge, we must then move into chapter 11, Isaiah. Chapter 11, Isaiah speaks of this rod, this branch that comes out of the rod and the stem of Jesse, and says that he shall judge no longer after the seeing of the eye or the hearing of the ear, but with righteous judgment he shall judge. Now, right now we judge by the hearing of the ear and the seeing of the eye. We're just that human. But when he moves us into this birth, we will no longer judge that way. And now, did you know that, I believe it's the 14th verse, may not be the 14th verse, in Jude, the angels are reserved, and that's the 6th verse, isn't it? The angels are reserved in darkness, the angels that left their first estate. Did somebody turn over and read? 6th verse, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, how does it read, Peggy?
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day.
There you are. How come they? How long ago did that happen? I mean, here we've got, God has got these angels that forsook their first habitation, their first mission with God, and he has reserved them in chains under darkness, waiting a day of judgment. Why did he do that? Because it pleased God that through humanity, through his man that he would create in his image, through his many-membered body, with Jesus being the head of this glorious body, that he will judge angels. So when they left their first estate and offended God, God had them held without bail. He's just waiting for somebody to walk into the authority of executing their judgment. That comes with the 144,000 comes into life. Hallelujah. Oh, can you see it? Can you see what we are destined to? Hallelujah. Called unto. Hallelujah. Who all is called? Well, many are called. Few are chosen. But at the end, there are those that are with him that are called, chosen, and faithful. Hallelujah. It is those are the ones. You see, I am a candidate for walking into life. You know, they say of the politicians, they threw their hat in the ring. I threw mine in the ring. I have declared my candidacy all over the world. That I am a candidate to walk into life. All right, now that I have declared my candidacy all in all precincts, hallelujah, what must I do? Make my calling and election? Sure. Yeah, that's what I got to do now. I'm already declared I'm a candidate. Now, it's up to me to make my calling an election sure. I must, hallelujah. The sovereignty of God will carry me a long ways, but I must meet that with effort. You see, the works, we are judged according to our works. All the rewards come through the works. Salvation comes by grace, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's salvation. That's how you got saved. But now if you get any elevation, yeah, hallelujah, amen, it's by works. If you, you know, grace, I'm sorry, it's only by grace could you do the works. But all of your parables speak And everywhere the New Testament talks of rewards by works. The 25th chapter of St. Matthew, three parables. The reward in all of them is by the works, according to their works. Somebody said, well, what is the five foolish virgins? They're the 30-fold. Now you want to know what the five wise are. They're the 60-fold. Now you want to know who that fellow was that sounded the alarm, the bridegroom's coming. That's the 100-fold. Hallelujah. That's the sons of God. He's the friends of the bridegroom. Hallelujah. He's going to the wedding. Oh, blessed be God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She has on her head, she has the moon under her feet. Have we established that? She has overcome the darkness of this world, has it all under her feet. God has lifted her up above it. She has rose up above all of this, and she sits now as my Lord, clothed in the heavenly life of light, and there is a crown of 12 stars on her head. That speaks of governmental order. And the crown of conquest and governmental order. She has been come up through divine order. She has not been taught by man's theories, man's programming, but she has been taught by the Spirit of the Almighty. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean that man has not taught her, but he taught her the precepts of God. Things that line up with this scripture. He has taught her a way. She didn't just stagger around in drunkenness and discover that she was in this lofty position. She aimed at it. She focused on it. She had a revelation of it. So if you would come to the lofty position I'm preaching about this morning, you first of all have to get a revelation of it. And then pursue it with all of your heart, with all of your mind and soul. And don't turn quickly back. Hallelujah. For the blessings of God, everything's out front. Behind us is a burnt over. How close am I getting? At least 10 minutes. My Lord, I can do it pretty good in that time, I think. if you'll permit me to say it, that I told you I'd just speak Texan. All right. All right. And then she is, all right, she had, and she is being with child, cried. She is travailing in birth, and she is paining to be delivered.
Yes,
hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. John seen it from the Isle of Patmos. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And the Lord said, come up higher, John, and I'll show you things that must shortly come to pass. And here old John looked out across the sections of time. And he seen this woman. He seen me because, hallelujah, I'm in the womb of that woman that is the church. Oh, hallelujah. When God said to Eve that prefigured this, he'll take the seed of woman and bruise the head of the serpent, the seed does not actually come from the female, it comes from the male. She had the incubating apparatus. Again, you'll have to excuse my crudeness. But when God presented her to Adam, Adam said, oh, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and he'll cleave to his wife. This is the first prophecy. Adam becomes a prophet, and he makes a projection here. For this cause a man will leave his father and mother, and he will cling to his bride. Hallelujah. Oh, my. And then, all right, Paul sanctioned this when he said the twain becomes one. Well, they were one to start with. But because of some desire, well, because of the plan of God, but Adam had the desire toward it, that Eve should be presented to him from without. He would separate the reproduction organs. For Adam and Eve, intact as they were, could not reproduce until God performed this surgery, whatever, this miracle, and brought her out and presented her to. Now, he separated the reproductive organs and left the seed with Adam. and took the incubating process and gave it to Eve. And now Adam would plant the seed, and Eve would incubate it, and she would bring forth Seth. Oh, and through this union and lineage, the devil gets a black eye and a battered head.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You see the beauty of it all. Oh, the beauty of it all. I am all struck. No matter how many times I remember this, it always causes me to have that feeling of patriotism, spiritualism. Hallelujah. So now the church has been impregnated by the last Adam. Hallelujah. And she's going to bring forth another Seth. Only this ain't Seth. Hallelujah. But he comes through the lineage. She's going to bring forth this man child that will finish what the first didn't finish. Who has believed our report? Who's seen the arm of the Lord, the extension of his arm to his many-membered body of Christ? God will bear his arm for us. God will bear his arm. You see little old boys, you know, like 10 years old, they out around the barn or somewhere, you know, one of them. Look at that. See? You know what he's doing? He's bearing his arm, showing you his muscle. That's what Goliath did when he came out every morning and challenged Israel. He pulled his sleeve up and made a muscle. He bared his arm to them. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that God will bear his arm for us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. He's making visible his arm this morning through the inspired, anointed word of God. We see the arm of the Lord extended right through his many-membered body of Christ. Oh, thank God forever. I gotta get on here quickly. All right? She is going to bring forth this man child. Hallelujah. He has the right thought. Oh, that Ishmael may live. He had the right father, but he didn't have the right mother. You gotta have the right father and the right mother. And this woman is the right mother, and she is impregnated by the right father. And now there is a man-child that is going to come forth that will rule unquestionable. He'll replace that one y'all talked about last night over that king's coronation chair until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, my Lord and our God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh. All right. Then he talks about this other wonder that appears in heaven. He's the devil. He's trying to overthrow this woman's man-child because he knows that this is the one that will be his finish. We're going to bind him. And in the 20th chapter of Revelation, verse 1, an angel takes up a chain, comes down from heaven, and binds old Satan for 1,000 years.
Hallelujah.
Now if I... Alright, when the woman brings forth the man child, the enemy is waiting to grab him up, but God secures him miraculously. And then the woman is called into the wilderness where she is sufficed for these many days and months by through the ministry of the blessed Son of God that she birthed. But this is not, now I know that there are those that are hunting place in the mountain to store up supplies and survive the tribulation. That is to no avail. You could not possibly store enough supplies. Anyhow, the devil will be after you. Hallelujah. Amen. And no matter how many you could get together up there in the mountains, it wouldn't take but one company of Marines and Colonel Wilson directing them to wipe out the whole thing. It's just vulnerable. It's vain thinking. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. It's all vanity. Unless your deliverance is miraculous, you won't survive. It'll have to be supernatural. I tell you what God spoke to me, and I guess I'm closing. And my time's up on the tape, and I've been I'll give you enough to feast on for a long time. I wish I had two more hours now. I'd start with the entrance into the kingdom and show you what we do through there. But I don't have that time, so what was I going to show you now? What am I going to say? Did I say I was going to... What? Oh, yes, the Lord told me. Brother. we really romped on this. All right. The Lord said to me, really and truly, the Lord showed me, gave me a prophecy in May of 1986, I guess it was, or 85. Well, anyhow, and I won't tell you all the, I won't recite all the prophecy, but in, he told me certain things would, certain events would take place. And he said, when you see these things come to pass, go immediately to your prayer closet, and I'll meet you there. Now, that's what the Lord impressed me. I don't say that he spoke by an audible voice, but it was very real to me. And he said, this will be the manifestation of the sons of God. It will be the first resurrection. And I will give you power over all the powers of the devil. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, that's the word that I got. Hallelujah. And I tell you the truth, that I believe that's the way it is. I believe that's the way that it will be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He will give us, he said, he spoke the word immunity. He said, I will give you immunity over all the things of the wrath that is being poured out upon the world. You'll walk over it and through it, but it shall not overcome you. For you will be a mature son indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that's the projection that I gave in, I believe, in 1986. It spoke of great turmoil in the world. Amen. Before that plane crashed in the middle of, what year was that, 85? When the plane fell out with the 300 passengers on it? I prophesied on the first day of the year, that year, that I gave a great, elaborate prophecy of graciousness and greatness to the church. And it was so great that I felt in the spirit that nobody could believe it. And the Lord spoke to me and said, all right, I see that you are skeptical. I'll give you a sign that you can see. And when this comes to pass, you will know as surely as this was true, the spiritual is true also. At the middle of this year, an airplane shall fall out of the skies with over 300 passengers on it. And there'll be no survivors. And nobody will ever know why it failed. And on the 28th day of June, which likes one day, being at the middle of the year. But I just said at the middle of the year. I mean, if I get to past June the 15th, between June the 15th and July the 15th, I think you would accredit it as accurate, wouldn't you? But I missed it less than a few hours, split it right in the middle, and I've often thought I ought to check the time differential. But I never have checked the time differential, but if I did, I think I probably pinpointed it. And then I said, this is only the beginning, though, of our catastrophe, for after this, another one will fall with even more people on it. And then others. And before the year is spent, it will already have been declared the greatest air disaster year of all aviation. Well, you remember that shortly after that, the plane fell with the 500 and something. The Russians shot it down. You remember that one? One crashed in Dallas, killed 138. And all over the country and all over the world, they were crashing. And, you know, people would call me. Of course, everybody over the country knew it. I had given this projection. So I, you know, he'd call me and ask me if I'd come. I said, oh, I'll fly. It's night flying this year. Well, I ain't no fool. I mean, projecting them falling and me riding them. You know, they don't give you a chute with these. If they did, it's too speedy to get out of. Hallelujah. Ah, praise the Lord. Well, I've enjoyed teaching you this morning. I trust that I have taught, remembering my statement that the teacher has not taught until the student has learned. I trust that you have learned something. But what I trust more than that in hope is that you have felt the tug of the deepness of God, tug at the depth of your spirit. And you can, you ought to get a copy of this tape and hear it again, because you couldn't possibly grasp all the nuggets that I gave you for a lot of you that never has heard any ministry along this line, I suppose. I would think there's some here that way. Don't let me be offensive to you. I love you. I have only one motive for being here. That motive should be obvious to you. It's obvious to Brother Glenn, I know, and to Irma, and to many of you that know me, Peggy. It is just to promote and forward the kingdom of God. It is because of a calling that I can't neglect. Hallelujah. That's why I'm here. I have no other really motive for being here. That's it. That's it. And, of course, a lot of other good things happen. I meet you, and that's good, and a lot of good things are happening. But that's my motive. That's what brought me here. That's what drives me. It's what leads me. It's what I eat and sleep and live. And God help us. God help us to preach it and live it. Hallelujah. And only by the grace of God can we do that. Well, stand with me. I want to invoke blessings on you. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I invoke the choicest blessings from heaven for this people that have sat under the sound of my voice this morning. I trust, Heavenly Father, that you have given us a word that you wanted us to preach. For I came not by notes, but I just came by unction. I trust that it is the true unction of the Holy Ghost that has driven this word home to the spirits of those that have heard it. I pray just now, Heavenly Father, that you would seal every word that will be profitable to the kingdom and to us as we pursue the kingdom. Seal it in our hearts. And if perchance I have said anything through foolishness or anything of folly, anything that will not be profitable in our pursuit of the kingdom, I pray that you just have it to have us to forget it before we can get out of the tabernacle. Hallelujah. And reserve that to us and seal to us only that will be profitable to each individual life. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you have not allowed us to be offensive, but you have allowed us to be delightful.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That others might delight in your presence, O God. May that presence be illuminated through me and through you, Brother Bill, through you, Brother Glenn, Linda, and Brother Wilson, and Brother and the Moody's here. Oh, and others, on and on. May the light of life be illuminated through us. May you find eternal life and find your rest in God. These are my prayers over this people, and that the blessings of God will continue throughout this meeting with this super anointing that we feel even now, my Lord, and that you will continue to anoint the speakers one after another, the singers, Lord, and all the directors of the services, O Lord, and the partakers also, Lord, with the same anointing. Oh, settle down over us with a blanket anointing, O God, by that will break the yokes and destroy the fetters and set the captive free. Hallelujah! 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 Oh, glory to the Lord! Praise our God forever! Praise our God forever! Thank you, Lord Jesus, now! Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
Thank the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Will you be poured out like wine upon the altar? For me, will you be broken like bread to feed the hungry? Will you be so one with me that I can do just as I will? Will you be light of my work fulfilled? Will you be poured out like wine upon the altar for me? Will you be?
broken like bread to feed the hungry? Will you be so one with me that I can do just as I will you? Like life and love, my work will be. If I be poured out like wine upon the altar, for me will you be broken like bread to feed the hungry? Yes, I'll be so one with you that I can do just as you will.
Yes, I'll be
like life and love, my work fulfilled.
Will you be
poured out like wine upon the altar? For me, will you be broken like bread to be hungry? Will you be so one with me that I can do just as I will? Will you be like life and love, my word fulfilled?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. That's what He's calling us for, to be poured out for others. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are many free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.